Okay, we are back to episode 197. Joe, how are you doing?
Just fine, Tim. How are you?
Very well. Okay, tonight we agreed to talk about this attempt to I guess impose a vaccine mandate by hook or by crook or before we get into that, maybe some interesting developments. Just l latter part of the week, the pretender president Joe Biden has pressured Major League Baseball to move the All-Star game out of Atlanta, Georgia, over the new law that was passed by the legislature about voting integrity. Joe Biden called on the Major League Baseball. I think Major League Baseball has responded and has decided to move the game out of Atlanta this year to relocate the 2021 All-Star game after passage of Georgia's new election law. This year's exhibition game was set to be held on July 13th at Truist Park, home of the Atlanta Braves. And preliminary reports suggest that the Major League Baseball is, oh, has decided to move to change the location. Major League Players, Major League Baseball's Players Association Executive Director Tony Clark stated they have not yet had a formal discussion on the topic with the league, but are aware of Georgia's new law and look forward to having the conversation. Now, this is odd because your president of the United States is now instigating or coordinating a corporate campaign to force a state to change a law that was passed by the legislature. And Biden has repeatedly criticized the legislation signed into law by Republicans, signed by Republican Governor Brian Kemp in late March, as restricting voting access for low-income minority voters in particular. And he reiterated the claim in his interview that the measure is Jim Crow on steroids. Now, the law just requires you to, I think, to produce a valid state-issue ID. And for that, they're claiming this is Jim Crow. Apparently, that is too much to ask for people to provide proof of identification for voting. Now, it's funny because in order to buy a six-pack of beer, you need to present a valid ID. But apparently, to vote, you don't have to do that. At least they think that's racism now. Apparently, it's just too much to expect minority voters to produce a valid ID. Governor Kemp said Joe Biden hasn't told the truth about our election integrity legislation from the beginning. Georgia has a minimum of 17 early voting days. Delaware has none. Of course, that's Joe Biden's home state. Georgia has no excuse absentee balloting. Delaware does not read the law. That's what the governor tweeted. Delta Airlines and Coca-Cola both weighed in on it, two of the largest companies in Georgia, and they have criticized new law. Now, it's funny because Delta, I think, and I think Tucker Carlson made this point in his show, is Delta, last time I checked, requires a valid ID to board a plane. Does that make Delta racist?
Well,
Because,
sure.
I mean, that's just too burdensome, right? And of course, Coca-Cola and Tucker Carlson made the same point. I was thinking just when he made it, Tucker Carlson, it was his Coca-Cola CEO James Quincey said on CNBC Wednesday, "We have said for many decades we promote within Georgia a better society and a better environment. In this step backwards, and our position remains the same. The legislation is wrong. Now, why is it wrong? Of course, how many millions of Black Americans has Coca-Cola killed or given type 2 diabetes with their slurry?" I mean, it's Delta CEO Ed Bastian wrote in a memo to employees the same day that the law is unacceptable and does not match Delta's values. Now, why are they even weighing in on this? Why is Major League Baseball, the NBA, Delta, Coca-Cola so concerned about a perfectly reasonable election law that was passed to deal with integrity issues that were made all too clear last November? Why are they weighing in at all? Why are corporations putting pressure to change laws that are passed due to, that are passed lawfully by the legislature?
Well, they're doing that because they're trying to put extreme pressure upon whites in America to reduce their self-esteem and accept second-class citizenship, where what would be just, normal voting behavior for the last 200 years in this country is out the window because the classes that the cultural Marxists who are in charge want to promote, the African Americans and transgender, are not to be the idea that their votes are not a majority is a racist idea. They simply are. I mean, you saw the last election,
So you have to
how
augment them
ludicrous.
with voter. They're codifying voter fraud. That's what they're.
Exactly. So this the idea that this is a throwback. Yes, it is actually. It is a throwback to the time when there was actually an election and it wasn't just a process in mind control for the destruction of the Gentile, which is basically what the current cultural Marxists have in mind with the, with the all of the aspects of the fake voting and the fake culture too. And of the idea, like you were saying, like, well, why would Major League Baseball weigh in on this? Well, it's because it's something that middle class America is attached to. So this is, obviously why they're using that as a device to make sure that the whites don't get uppity and demand that real people vote. And you'll see that the same group will then, demand that you have to have your vaccination if you want to get into the stadium.
Yes.
So this is going to, you'll see the two are hand in hand. I mean, believe me, because and I'm apologizing if I cough. I don't have COVID, and I don't have pneumonia. I just have allergies because at this time of the year in California, I get allergies. Anyway, an example of where this will head was seen with Joe Scarborough, the MSNBC's Lifetime actor. He made some very thought out comments on vaccine passports. He said that if you oppose them, you're an idiot and a moron who should crawl back into your cave. So you can see the level of analysis we're getting into. He said that
Typical
because I can't get
MSNBC
past.
analysis quality analysis there, right?
Yeah, this is great. And so he says that
But he used to
the
be
selfish.
a conservative Republican before they
Yeah,
found a
he's a
dead.
conservative, a libertarian.
Then they found a dead woman in his office, and they
So
changed.
he goes, the selfishness is incredible. The stupidity is incredible. If you still believe in God, maybe get on your knees and pray. You're going out of your way to kill people. And this is actually his quote. But it really, he reached a kind of crescendo of irrationality. He said that this was in the same pulse of analysis. He continued that they're being stupid. They're following conspiracy theories. There's the key phrase. They don't understand because they're such morons. Now, here's the part where it is great. He goes, if they don't want to take the vaccine and they want to die, that's their right as Americans. They can live in ignorance and stupidity. So the idea that living in ignorance and stupidity because you've died is sort of odd, but anyway, then he concluded. He said, "Our government, our sports teams, our concert promoters, damned well better put something together where you can show your vaccine passport." Now, you see, I actually, from time to time, have gone to sporting events. I'm not a big sports fan, but in general, they're very decadent in my mind. This the herd, the artificiality. I think we've done shows on the NFL. How destructive it is to intellect and to, people's culture. So there's a kind of purification, which is a bad word, I know, but I mean, if you think of just how it's being used mechanically in the statement, because what's happening is there's no doubt there's going to be a vaccine passport to get into, the MTV Awards, to get into, Lady Gaga concerts, to get into an NBA game or an NFL game. And frankly, this is a good thing because the vaccine is regulating the people who are you know, unworthy into little groups. This is a great time for us to try to revive our culture, because everything that Scarberg was handing out or hanging, you know, like a carrot to take, you know, make people take a vaccines. These are all things that we should cut loose immediately. Coca-Cola, are you kidding me? The Major League All-Star game, so what? Kick them out, you know. So this is the fact is that it'll be very hard for political leaders to come into this mix and get the attention that they need to make the right points, you know, because they'll be suppressed. But it was heartening this week to listen to the Texas governor say, you know, no way there's going to be vaccine passports, vaccine, you know, authorization cards in Texas. That was actually useful. The principle of states' rights was, you know, shining through in that regard. I understand that Florida may also do this. There's a number of states that may follow suit. So, you know, this is, you know, we talked about this before the show, that in the next couple months, the low-hanging fruit will have been picked. And the process that they're doing is to create momentum so that you feel, you know, that you are out of mainstream if you're not taking the vaccine.
Yes.
They're going to put pressure on every single American in some way or another. This is a time to draw the line, you know. Just say, absolutely not. We're not going to take it. You can't legally make us take it, for one thing, because it was brought out under the Emergency Authorization Act. And the trials that, for example, Moderna is required to do won't even conclude to 2023, for heaven's sakes. So this is the time to defend yourself, your inalienable rights, which I certainly think include your genetics. So just tell these guys to take their mandated vaccine and try to organize and try to use it, you know, as a way to get the communications that we've been talking about for so long, Tim. So many times we've talked about how we've got to organize. Well, this is going to be a great principle around which to organize.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis said this week that he would issue an executive order forbidding local governments and businesses from requiring a so-called vaccine passport to show proof the customers have been inoculated against the coronavirus. Of course, to call it a vaccine, again, is incorrect. It's a misnomer. It is not a vaccine. It's gene therapy being marketed as a vaccine, as problematic as vaccines are in general. So there's that. And you mentioned it is a violation of the Nuremberg Code and also a violation of informed consent. And it is emergency use authorization, which means they can't mandate it. Of course, I show me where there's an emergency. The stats don't demonstrate. The data doesn't show, data sets don't suggest any of a genuine emergency. And of course, whatever is out there for flu-like viruses, there's always traditional treatments that are pretty good. Right now, the official survival rate is close to 100%. So why? You know, why are they doing this? But yeah, you said they're, you know, they're, well, you know, it was like Governor Cuomo, who wants to create a passport via executive order. He calls it what, the Excelsior, like he's like it's a resort package or something. You get the Excelsior pass, or like a theme park where you don't have to wait in line for rides. The marketing on it is so ham-fisted, you know, on it. Greece, a good example. A lot of the pressures on tourism, meaning they're dangling out revival of tourism. So a lot of companies are anxious to get people to accept the vaccine so they can spend money, you know, traveling, you know, these things, hotels, you know, airlines. And so they're going to try to use that route. It's called, you know, the vaccines are considered what they call the golden ticket for global travel. So they're going to spend, I had someone ask me about this, where I want to travel. I said, well, now's not the time not to be a tourist. I'm sorry. I mean, they're, your future's at your children's health is at stake. Worrying about being able to go and visit somewhere and spend money shouldn't be your primary concern. Is you got to stand your ground and fight it now. It's not, again, Americans have a hard time accepting that this is being presented to them. That this is the pretty much the issue that you stand your ground on and you die on, the hill you die on, something like this.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, this is it. This is we have seen an artificial pandemic, which was created through media techniques. It's like a hologram.
But you saw the chart on the global circulation of the flu virus, how it's down almost down to zero in 2021.
The corona drove it away.
And you saw the VAERS system reporting how the spike in deaths. I think they're up close to 2,000 this year, which is I think 20 times the annual rate, and we're only what, 2 months, less than 2 months into the vaccine program? Isn't that a little alarming? That's not being reported.
Know quite a few people who had the vaccine, and I know four of them, I would say out of 20 that I actually know and have talked to, have had really bad reactions. Very high fraction have gotten really sick, sick to the point that they couldn't have gone to work the next day. That kind of a sickness, So the toxicity of the vaccine, just the poison aspect of it, is very high, very high. But this is nothing, Tim. It is something. And I think there's quite a few people who have died as a result of taking it. And obviously, a lot of people have been getting sick. But the point of that is I think the most heinous is that. There's no question but that in my mind, but eventually either this jab or a subsequent booster shot will eventually produce the effects that we saw in the mRNA and vector, which are the two kinds that are being brought out. We saw in 2002, 2004, when they attempted to develop this technology to handle what they felt were, epidemics with SARS and MERS. And there, at first, everything seemed fine. The antigens were produced. This is a whiz bang technology. But over time, and with exposure to wild virus, the animals all got sick and they were all killed because
Yes.
they were basically okay. So now we've brought out the same technology to an artificial pandemic, which is something that everyone in control of the vaccine production is aware of. Everyone in our government is aware of. They all know this. This is an artificial media creation,
Didn't
right?
they
You
skip the
understand?
animal trials for this thing?
Right. Now, what they did was
Yeah.
is that they reduced the trials to 28 or 39 days when the standard models would have been the minimum amount of time would have concluded the safety trials in 2023, which is why they had to bring them out under the AAU, the Emergency Authorization Act. This is why how they were able to get them legally into circulation. But my point is, Tim, look, this whole thing stinks. It just stinks. The fake pandemic, the rush vaccine, the fact that they are demanding and putting pressure on people to take what amounts to something which will change their RNA, as far as we know, permanently. This under a true pandemic, like the bubonic plague, where you're going to lose 25% of the population. I think you could at least present it as a coherent idea. I'm not even sure under in that circumstance I would take it, but I think you could at least, say, look, this is what we think we need to do. But under our present circumstance, there is just no doubt in my mind that it's just raw malevolence is in back of this. So at some point, the hammer is going to drop, and the people who have taken this will start to realize that they're autoimmune or some other aspect to it that is destructive to their health. And Tim, think of the psychological damage to the people who have suddenly found out that the vaccine they took is a long-term poison. I mean, just imagine what our world will be like in the future when 60, 70% of the population realize they are basically in a death cab heading off a cliff.
Yeah, I think what happens is the public health officials and the medical system will, and governments will just claim that there's a new variant out there or something
Sure.
else, and people will buy it because they're. I mean, obviously, we told people just accept what they're told, no critical thought. I mean, to experience what's occurred in the past 12 months or 14 months, and I still have people like listening to Dr. Fauci and the CDC. It's amazing. Like, I think there's been a mass disillusionment, and the media really isn't reporting it. Maybe I'm just putting too much faith in my fellow man, but I do think there's a probably a good half the population probably just looks at Dr. Fauci, CDC, and just rolls their eyes now. Just that the skepticism isn't being reported, and they're still being touted as, authority figures or institutions that you can trust, when obviously you cannot. I mean, oh, the malevolence, I think, is demonstrated in the fact that, who's pushing it. Of course, number one emissary is Bill Gates, and Bill Gates recently declared in the in Europe, he was at the in traveling in Europe. I wonder, why does he get to travel? Bill Gates declares EU won't be back to normal until late 2022, when everyone is vaccinated. Because Bill Gates apparently knows this, because he's Bill Gates. He's just the smartest man alive. He's obviously an expert in these things, because he ran a software company for a while and has lots of money, so we have to listen to him. But yeah, multi-billionaire corporate pharmaceutical mogul, of course, advocate of the Great Reset, Bill Gates was recently sent to Europe, Eastern Europe, to try to convince people there to take the shot. Basically, you get your freedom from the global pandemic if you take the shot. He took the Polish media to declare that all the unpopular social control measures, lockdowns, masks, social distancing, and push for mass vaccinations will have to continue through late 2022. I don't know how he knows that. Because he has a crystal ball. It was reported in Reuters. The world should be back to normal by the end of 2022, thanks to COVID-19 vaccines, Bill Gates said in an interview with a Polish newspaper and television broadcaster TVN24. This is an incredible tragedy, the Microsoft co-founder said on the pandemic, adding that the only good news was the access to the vaccines. By the end of 2022, we should basically be completely back to normal, Gates said. Gates, a billionaire who stepped down from chairman of Microsoft Corporation in 2014, has, through his philanthropic Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, committed at least $1.75 billion to global response to COVID-19 pandemic. Of course, you might look at that as an investment. So
Do you
he's got a
remember
stake in the
too
game
when,
here.
yeah? Do you remember when the lockdown first occurred? Gates made a public statement and he said that, I hate to say it, but this will probably require us to be locked down for 10 weeks.
Yes.
And he said it's going to be super tough, super tough. Okay, so now, the story changes every,
Yes, they're moving the goalposts. That's what they, yeah.
The goalpost keeps going.
Yeah.
So now it's 2022, but this is post worldwide
Well,
vaccination. And
Biden,
not just.
it was July 4th, now it's Christmas, maybe
Yeah.
whenever,
Yeah.
yeah.
So the public is just, being fed distraction after distraction. The lockdowns are not ever going to go away unless we can remove them by force.
Well, what was interesting was you had Naomi Wolf, who, Rhodes Scholar, very establishment liberal, and she appears to have stuck her neck out on this issue, because she has a lot of status and therefore a lot to lose with the position she's taking, because she has come out with some remarks that are quote as extreme as any. But she had gave an interview, and she had some particularly interesting insights into this. As she Naomi Wolf said, this is literally the end of human liberty in the West if this plan unfolds as planned. This is talking about vaccine mandates and vaccine passports. Vaccine passports sounds like a fine thing if you don't understand what these platforms can do. I am the CEO of a tech company. I understand what this platform does. It's not about the vaccine or the virus. It's about your data. What people need to understand is that any other functionality can be loaded onto that platform with no problem at all. What that means is that can be merged with your PayPal account, your digital currency. Microsoft is talking about merging it with your payment plans. Your networks can be sucked up. It geolocates you wherever you go. All of your medical history can be included. This has already happened in Israel. And 6 months later, we're hearing from the activists that it's a two-tiered society, and basically activists are ostracized and surveilled continually. It's the end of civil society, and they're trying to roll it out around the world. It is absolutely so much more than the vaccine pass. It is, I cannot stress this enough, that it has the power to turn off your life, or turn on your life, or let you engage in society, or be marginalized. And by the way, the last thing I'll say is IBM has a horrible history with Nazi Germany, the punch cards that allowed the Nazis to keep lists in such a way that they could round up Jews, round up dissidents and opposition leaders. It is catastrophic. I cannot believe, I cannot, it cannot be allowed to continue. How does China keep 1 billion people under the thumb of a totalitarian regime? The CCP can find any dissident in 5 minutes, and that can happen here literally within months. So she sees the wider picture. This is a social credit control system they're implementing here under the guise of a public health
Well, and
emergency.
a kind of a bio,
Yes.
mechanical human. I wanted to correct Naomi on one little point there. She talks about the IBM cards, which were used to round up the Jews. She's giving the idea that this was, Holocaust fodder.
Yeah, the
That was,
Holocaust stuff, yeah.
yeah. But here's the actual fact. IBM came in and helped categorize them as part of Hitler's Zionist project to try to find and identify Jews to move them to safety, and particularly to move them on to Israel. If you look at the pictures of Watson going around with Hitler, you'll see he's accompanied by Alfred Balfour,
Yes.
the Freemason who wrote the Balfour document to Rothschild announcing how wonderful it was now that Jews were going to have a homeland. That's the person Watson, you can see the photographs.
Yeah, this is part of the Helvara or transfer agreement, I think, right?
Exactly right.
Yes.
And then it was transmogrified brutally into this idea that, well, this was, this evil Holocaust.
Well, remember the email I sent you? I said the Nazi Germany or Holocaust analogy is a little sharp one at this point. And I think we should look at something like the caste system in India as a better analogy, like Dalit or Untouchable.
Well, how about like the caste system in Brave New World, for
Yes.
example? I mean,
Yeah.
but this
But
is so
didn't
I just
Huxley
want to.
admire the Hindu caste system though when he wrote that?
Of course he did. Well, I mean, well, that's where Soma comes from. I mean, it was a system of society in which there was ossification and acceptance of slavery, which the wrinkles and irritations that the system caused were dealt with through drugs. Okay, there it is. This is what we're looking at in the future. The vaccine, it's this odd thing. I just wanted to mention that, like a number of people had stated that by now we would start to see autoimmune response to the vaccine, and there would be, piles of corpses. And I didn't think this was going to happen because it made no sense to me that they would bring something out that would start the real lethal blow before there was time in order to vaccinate everyone. You see what I mean? So I felt that there had to at least be a year or even longer before the real catastrophe that is inside the vaccine, and it could even be another dose that would be needed. But the first one simply establishes the principle, and now there is this time period which they're getting the low-hanging fruit, and then through intimidation, they'll see how many more they can actually put under the gene modification program that they have in mind. And then will come the war, right? Then the purification will have occurred. All that will be left, I mean, just judging best I can, and these would be guesses, I would say minimum you're going to have 10% of the adults in America. So you're looking at 20 million people who will not take it, and now you'll have they were going to have to be destroyed because their health will be fine, of course, whereas the people who've taken the vaccine, will start to suffer. Now they're going to obviously they'll have drugs available, as they make the transition to the alphas, deltas, epsilons. So there'll be other gene therapies available when you start to have your autoimmune response to the first couple. But the people who are not vaccinated will be healthy. And so if they are in existence, they will just be a clear indicator to everyone else that this was a malevolent act by the oligarchs, and there will be the kind of rebellion that I think they want to avoid. So between now and then, as I see it, Tim, that they have to try to get rid of the unvaccinated.
Yeah, that it's kind of unclean, unvaccinated.
Yeah, the caste system, the unclean.
Yeah, you'll be Dalit or untouchable, and so they've working to kind of divide society along too. The Cove, I guess the Branch Covidians versus the COVID deniers, and that's an insult to the Branch Davidians because they were never as malicious.
You
They kept
can't
to
go to an
themselves.
NBA game. You can't go to the All-Star game. You can't travel to Cancun. You're an unclean person.
But they're just actually discussing segregation at this point, based on no science or and no data sets to even suggest anything's out there to justify these moves. It really is absurd, but people will just go along with it because it's what's reported. It's what the CDC recommends. The CDC had guidelines. Of course, at this point, anyone who looks for the CDC for guidance is hopeless at this point because it's not only is it if it's not incompetent, it's irredeemably corrupt. But yeah, there was a CDC announced Easter holiday weekend guidance. Fully vaccinated, safe to celebrate indoors without masks with other fully vaccinated people. Not fully vaccinated, celebrate with own household or celebrate outdoors at 6 feet apart. Okay, I'm going to follow that rule. I don't know. Except it's CDC misguidance here. I mean, obviously they're setting something up here. I mean, this is just if you can't see through this at this point.
This is still low-hanging fruit. I mean, anyone who would fall for this is, I mean, not thinking very clearly. In our local paper today, LA moved from, condition orange horror to, yellow, and enabled them to open up more restaurant space. I think they went from 25 to 50% restaurant. But Santa Barbara, my county, couldn't do this. And they said that our health inspector came forward and he said, I think it's because there's too much social interaction from unvaccinated people. This is why we couldn't get into condition yellow terror.
First of all,
We
how do
have to stay.
people, first of all, this, it's a violation of health privacy rights. People don't access your, what shots you've taken. I mean, this is interesting good news. I just got a message here from a friend in Calgary. Police told to leave church while interrupting church services for a violation of capacity rules. They were church goers yelled, "Gestapo, get out."
Good. Excellent.
Oh, by the
I
way,
do.
I don't think Gestapo ever disrupted church services in Germany.
No, believe me, we're way past any fantasy of anyone around the Gestapo. But
So, I mean,
the thing is that it unfortunately is going to get worse. People have a hard time believing it, but it is about to get much worse. I would say, what do you think, Tim? Like 2 to 3 months before it hits the fan?
yeah, I think it might be a little difficult over the spring to get people's head into this. Like, remember last year it started to disintegrate, so they rolled out the George Floyd incident. I don't know how to, I don't know how to how people are going to respond to this. When you start telling people they can't go shopping if they don't have a vaccine, how are they going to enforce it? I mean, it's
Well, yeah, that I mean they can, of course, with the vaccine passport, but these are the items that have to be fought. You just have to
Well, one thing is you can't attend sport events or culture. I say it's time to boycott those anyway. They're malevolent.
of course. In fact, I would just go in a general statement that anyone that comply, any organization, entertainment that complies with this is not worthy to operate in the United States.
Well, that's
They
obvious
simply
in the
are.
NFL and Major League Baseball at this point. and
They
NBA.
should simply the correct response would be for not just for the citizens to disattend, but to demand that the whole sport be brought to a close.
Well, it just
I
goes to
mean,
show who's really controlling it, because it's not government per se. I mean, you have some government kickback, like in the States. There's some vestiges of sovereignty there, but when you have these corporations who presume the right to impose this agenda, yes, what we were talking about, the Georgia's voting laws, also like in South Dakota, where Governor Kristi Noem appeared to back down and veto the anti, transgender law there, the law that's protecting women's sports, the
Yeah.
legislation they passed from transgender, I guess, interlopers. And she ended up vetoing the law because she figured she'd lose in court. That was her excuse, but it was because she got pressure, apparently, from Amazon. Now, why is Amazon or NCAA or any other company so hell-bent, so dedicated to pushing transgenderism when the public is so obviously against it for obvious reasons? I mean, it's but nevertheless, when corporations like this can write the rules and impose penalties, they are the de facto government at this point.
Of course, and it's useful because this is how the city's citizen will understand that they are being enslaved, and they can clearly see, if they think about it, the malevolence in back of the ludicrous workers' paradise that is being sold to them, with the idea that the transgenders have rights which really should supersede normal society. That we should stop our functioning as a heterosexual society and accommodate all of these peculiarities that they this group of like 0.0001% needs. So this doesn't make any sense arithmetically. It's just a symbol that is being inserted into our mind with the idea that there isn't really any healthy sexuality. Generative sexuality that is important. That I've been looking at pictures of all of these movie stars. These are the icons for American consciousness. They all have transgender kids.
Yeah, it's
They
like they've
actually
been
bring
told.
out like their little boy as a girl, their little girl's the boys. It just, I mean, I don't know, half dozen of these
Charlize Theron, I think, adopted one African kid, and the kid's now trying. Was it which is she the one that has the girl who thinks she's a boy, and then Will Smith and his wife have a boy who thinks she's a girl or something? Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's you
You
can really see
I think
the.
but what you suggested that they should be go on a date together.
Yeah, that's right. And it could be filmed on reality TV for. The thing that's useful about that is you can really see the satanic control over show business. Because think about
Well,
how.
corporations in general at this
Well,
point, yeah.
but you can really see like Will Smith, you'd go, well, he seems like a regular person, from time to time. He's, has nice roles that he plays
Yes,
in.
straight
Okay.
roles, yeah.
But to do something like this, to raise, to make a decision with a young child to push him to transgender, the statistics showing, well, how possible is this to have a child like that? I mean, it's 1 in 10 million or something. So this is a controlled decision, and it shows the price he had to pay for stardom.
Well, yeah, this why was he selected to begin with? I think there was a, I forget the rapper's name, but he claimed that he was offered the role of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and he wasn't willing to do what Will Smith was willing to do.
Well, there it is. I mean, it's just like,
So.
well, look, it's like Bill Gates. These people are lifetime actors. They seem real to us, but believe me, if they are large icons, if they are in our world or our thought world, they didn't arrive there by talent or hard work or even dumb luck. They're put there, right? Look at Gates, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I
That
just
kid.
said he's a distant cousin of Frederick Gates, the Rockefeller lackey.
Oh, well, Gates is actually, his family is in the Rockefeller lineage.
Yeah, so, okay.
So there you have it. But
Yeah.
I mean, so but these are, we have to, to go forward and effectively, we need to recognize that the individuals that are celebrities, intellectual celebrities, movie stars, business celebrities, by and large, by a vast degree, they aren't real. They are, I mean, Ted Turner is not a real human being who, through hard work and tenacity, created CNN. I mean, the best way to understand that is Bill Gates. It's so simple.
Well, even the
The Bill,
Rockefellers, right? They go back and their
yeah.
connections to Harriman and also to National City Bank and the Rothschilds. So they were
Oh, but
selected, yeah.
well, it's just like Gavin Newsom. I mean, the Rothschilds are standing over him like a specter. I mean, they created the Gettys. Newsom grows up and get in a Getty household.
Yeah.
His dad is the bag man. This is all just one family and connected structure, which then produces these lifetime actors like Gavin Newsom, like Bill Gates. And we think when they're talking to us in the media that we're listening to, some of them may be misguided, but we see a sincerity to them, right? This is ridiculous. This stops us from being really effective in our world. The right response is this is propaganda. Gates wasn't created through his talent. He was created as a icon that could be used to control us eventually, that we would give him, in propaganda, you have to give the individual creating the propaganda trust. You have to believe in them as having sincerity. If you take that away, the propaganda just disappears. So this is one thing that I'm really happy, you see the response when Bill Gates goes in public. He's the most hated man in the world. This is wonderful. We have to look at people like Will Smith and all of the icons that are into this, the transgender propaganda, are the medical celebrities, Fauci, for heaven's sakes. The real medical celebrity was Carrie Mullis, who was a whistleblower who pointed out that Fauci was an absolute idiot and then died under mysterious circumstances,
Yes, La just
like
last
General
year, yeah.
Pat, I
Or
mean,
in
when
2019 he died, yeah, just before.
yep, exactly. So anyway, sorry for the cough, but this is the right approach, is that it was propaganda for mind control, and now it's propaganda to move us into an absolute genocide. So we just have to smile wryly when we see these medical celebrities come forward with their sophistry and talking about, well, we've got to, we just have to vaccinate more people to get herd immunity or something. I'm sorry. Tim, our genetics are the fundamental inalienable right, I would
Yes.
say. They can't have it. It's not for sale.
Well, like I said, the threat of a mandatory vaccine by the federal government or state local authorities or even businesses or employers or schools, just for the right to access public places, really should be a wake-up call, should terrify everyone. All the vaccines, all vaccines I think are problematic in my opinion. But the COVID vaccines have already showed that they're extremely dangerous because they've been fast-tracked. Their development, they didn't go through the regular procedures, like animal testing from, So you have inadequate testing. This is an experimental technology. Numerous reported adverse events, including deaths. But the FDI guidelines. I mean, it's not. The FDA guidelines used for Pfizer and Moderna COVID vaccines explain the problem. It says there is no U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. Okay, so why take it? And why would anyone allow themselves to be jabbed with this thing? It's just
Well,
because
if
the
you go through
propaganda.
the all of the vaccines have safety trial results, or the trials that they had to go through, and the results are posted. I went through Moderna and J&J, Johnson and Johnson's two reports, and What's astonishing is that there was no real change in mortality, because no one died of COVID. So, in Moderna, I don't think anyone died. In the J&J, it was quite interesting. In the United States and in Brazil, and this was like 90% of the trial, no one died in either of the placebo or the vaccinated group. But in South Africa, which constituted, I believe, 8% of the total trial sample, they had 7 fatalities, and they were all in the unvaccinated. And that is the basis for them claiming that there is, it actually reduces mortality, when it's just a complete statistical impossibility that these numbers are real. I mean, I won't go into like how unlikely it is that 7 out of 20, or out of like what, 8,000 would have died in a 29-day period. It's like 1 in a million or something, you know. So there's something weird about the data. In the United States and in Brazil, in the large samples, no one died. So when you look, they have this interesting, like they say, well, South Africa is not vaccinated, but in Israel, 60% have been vaccinated. And they go, it's a mystery that in both countries, the rate of death from COVID is the same. Well, how can that be? Well, it's because no one's dying of COVID.
Yes. That's why. That might be your explanation.
There's your explanation. It's very complicated. But the point is, it leads back to your question of, well, why you're taking the vaccine in the first place. And then, of course, to the question beyond that is, why are they trying to force us to take it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it all goes back to the public's being propagandized over a century with Rockefeller medicine.
Yeah.
So we've all come to depend upon it. This entire enterprise, the fake pandemic, is based on a century of being propagandized and accepting, this model, the Rockefeller model, with pharmaceutical, intervention, drugs, these things. And the whole idea, just like for disease, of it being one germ, the whole germ theory, the weaponized germ theory, which people think is a fact, but it is indeed a theory which was challenged, I think, at the time, and it's never really been proven. It's just been sort of asserted. The idea is you have to kill each germ with a drug, prevent each germ with some sort of vaccine, and but really, the overall health of human beings, of people, has much to do with. It's nothing to do with one germ, one disease. It's basically social reality or conditions. It's better diet, hygiene, modern plumbing, things like that, that lead to reduction in the mortality morbidity rate. I think what the combined death rates from scarlet fever, diphtheria, whooping cough, measles among children up to 15 shows that nearly 90% of the total decline in mortality between 1860 and 1965, that's a little more than a century, had occurred before the introduction of antibiotics and widespread immunization. In part, this decline or recession may be attributed to improved housing and to a decrease in virulence of microorganisms, but by far the most important factor was the higher host resistance due to better nutrition. So these are conditions. That's from Ivan Illich's Medical Nemesis, 1977, his book. Robert Kennedy stated, after extensively studying a century of recorded data of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and Johns Hopkins researchers included, thus, vaccinations does not account for the impressive declines in the mortality rate from infectious diseases seen in the first half of the 20th century. And that, coupled with the fact that the medical system itself was it the third leading cause of death in the country?
Third or second? Yeah.
Yes, it might invite some skepticism towards the heroic claims, or do you depend upon these institutions or these figures to manage your health? It's not a good record when you look at it.
Yeah, what's his name? Mike Yadin. He was the former Pfizer vice president and their chief science officer, incidentally, wasn't just a paper pusher. He's been speaking out very dramatically lately about the idea that the vaccine is so incoherent that there must be malevolence in back of it. And this is really wonderful. I mean, they're not giving him any sort of airplay, but this is something that the independent media needs to provide, is that Dr. Mike Yeadon is saying, there really could be just huge evil afoot. He says he's very afraid of it because it just doesn't make any sense what they're doing. One thing that was interesting is he talked about a guy who'd been giving a lot of press lately, the Gert VandenBosch. You're probably familiar with the name.
Yes.
Yeah, so he had a theory. He was putting out a theory that this is horrible. You're creating a super virus. The immune system won't have any, novel antigens to respond to it. And excuse me, even though they mean well, this could end up with catastrophe. And Yadin said, he says, look, he says, I think this is highly suspect. There's no evidence at all that vaccination is leading or lead to a dangerous variant. I'm worried that it's some kind of a trick. We've talked so many times about the cul-de-sacs that they try to put us into. And he points out that variants, they differ from the original by no more than 0.3 of a percent. And he says that this isn't in general something that is going to be completely outside of the scope of the immune system or of the vaccination. He says that it just his the claims made no sense to him scientifically. And however, he went on and he says he doesn't really know what it is. He says that he just knows that there is no real emergency, that the vaccines have not been tested, and that he can see just from his interaction with individuals that there is what he said was is as there's no need for them, yet they're being made in pharma and regulators have stood aside with no safety testing, I can only deduce they will be used for nefarious purposes. For example, if someone wished to kill or harm a significant proportion of the world's population over the next few years, the systems being put in place right now will enable it. It is my considered view that it is entirely possible that this will be used for massive scale depopulation. That's from Pfizer's chief science officer and vice president. Now,
Now,
this.
that's chief science officer, former chief science officer for Pfizer. So this is a man within the system. Now, when people say, when you engage in conjecture, conspiracy theory, and these things, oh, this couldn't happen because someone would say something. Well, here is someone saying something.
Exactly. And
I mean, it's
so the response is,
I mean.
well, the media is what is malignant because people are speaking out.
Yes.
There's over 100,000 doctors who have signed a declaration against it. It gets no play. The people who make the claim that, where is the legitimate science? They are living in a dream world where they don't recognize how controlled the media is.
No, that as Joe Scarborough said, these people are idiots. They're ignorant, and they so, but he doesn't, of course, this is, he's a media figure who I believe was heavily compromised for reasons I alluded to. He's just there slandering them or besmirching them and just calling them names, conspiracy theorist, you're stupid. But you have the chief science officer of Pfizer suggesting that this could be a depopulation agenda afoot here to poison people, to kill people.
Yeah,
I guess he would never
wouldn't
have
that some?
Yeadon on a show to interview him, right? To
Yeah, let's. I mean, I would love to see Joe Scarborough and
I mean,
Dr.
all the airtime CNN gives to Bill Gates, because Bill Gates pays for it, of course. You
Excuse me.
think they'd find a little time to have, Yeadon on to talk about what he thinks of his former company and the agenda that they're behind. So you do get this. I mean, I'm saying you, the system, even though people within the system, there are human beings, and these human beings do whistleblow. They talk, and whether it's Rhodes Scholar Naomi Wolf, sticking her neck out is an example of someone who's well within the system. Here, this Dr. Yeadon, well within the system, you know. Kerry Mullis, you know.
Died under strange circumstances.
Whose test is being misused, the PCR test, to diagnose people with this stuff when it's not supposed to be a diagnostic test. Another obvious contradiction. The same way, another obvious contradiction was that way back in March of 2020, way back when, the British government took COVID-19 off its high consequence infectious disease list. Then they shut everything down. Explain that to me. But then again, the media doesn't call that out, these contradictions.
Well, and the media doesn't mention
the
overwhelming increases in overdose deaths and suicides. I saw an article that was relating to Canadian data. The U.S. suicide data for last year won't come out till 2022. Amazing, isn't it, that they don't release this stuff? Mm-hmm. But in Canada, at least in one of the provinces, an individual had enough data, and he said, you know, there's more suicides and overdose deaths than there are deaths by COVID. And he said that these increases are directly related to the lockdown. So my point is, where is this discussion? Where is the discussion? We've been locked down for a year. We have data, hard data on the deaths, the misery, and the business losses that this has achieved. And we can now compare this to what a virus purportedly can do. We should have an open discussion and see which one of these two things is worse, right? And if it is the case that the lockdown produces far more deaths than the virus does, then let's end the lockdown. It's very simple. That discussion has not ever been
well, it's an obvious question before you even propose such a measure.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea, even Donald Trump alluded to it in his own crude fashion. I mean, the cure being worse than the disease. It's an obvious consideration before you even plan to do something like this. You know, you could predict that you'd get an explosion in the suicide rate, alcoholism rate, drug addiction rate, when you create the social conditions for this. But they've been known that for decades because they, you know, the powers that be have been wanting to increase drug use and addictions and suicide rates for years. They they've been hell-bent on destroying the family structure and, you know, public morality to bring about the society that we live in today. You know, they've been, you know, their malevolence is obvious.
They were more concerned about promoting transgender rights than the fact that we've lost 60% of the sperm in our males.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that really shows that there is some kind of degenerate thinking in
well,
our
even disease.
Doesn't
they point to some, you know, ooh, viruses and germs, you know, I guess. When they don't look at toxins and diet, you know, the way that food's processed, the diet of the typical American, just the lifestyle, the modern Western lifestyle, what it does to people's health. No doctor, Dr. Fauci has never addressed nutrition in this entire thing, you know, which is key to your immune system, which is key to having to deal.
Remember, back in the AIDS, this guy is 100% vaccine drug is, you know, the solution for everything. With the bizarre AIDS epidemic that he was so central in, and in which you never got a discussion of the toxic lifestyle that the bathhouse gays were engaging in and how that related to the
what was it about lifestyle of the bathhouse going homosexual that might compromise their immune system, his immune system? But apparently Fauci used that he liked to frequent bathhouses for research.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Tim. I mean, you know, 400 sex partners in a year.
They might wear you out. Wear you out a little bit.
Immune
yeah.
system, you know. I mean, so this was never brought out as a possible candidate.
These same officials said that basically 1 in 4 people would have AIDS by the year 2000, and then we're still listening to these same clowns.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just going to say that. I mean, I did a show in the UK yesterday. And I put forward the idea that, you know, they've had some really spicy protests, and they're getting bigger, and they're starting to organize Really massive protests in the UK. This is fantastic. And I said that I would hope they would consider the idea that the fighting with the police, because in some of them they've just broken through the police lines and just marched past them. So the fighting with police is not really useful. It's not a battle that will spread the information to, other people and will start to bring power into the public's hands. I said, what you really want to do is communicate with the police. We need to rot their power, which is to say, their control over the police and their control over the military, the personnel in the military. We need to rot that power out from the inside. And I said, look, anyone who knows a policeman, anyone who knows the family of a policeman, you should be contacting these people and saying, have you considered the possibility that you are an agent of a burgeoning dictatorship, an evil, genocidal dictatorship? Because I think if you could have half of the police in the UK suddenly realize that would really erode their capacity to control, businesses, to keep us locked down. And if at the same time you started having groups pop up inside the military that would say, we're not going to fire into the people. We think the people have a point in terms of insisting on human rights. This is how we can win.
It's perhaps the only way, final analysis.
It's really the only way in the long run. We've got to start rotting them, their power out from the inside. Look, they're illegitimate. The power, if you think about like all of the discussions we've had over the years, Tim, we've really focused and tried to present as clear as we can evidence that the governments are a rotten secret society, right? Now, this was before COVID. Now it's completely clear this is what they are. It's a rotten secret society. It is intent on genocide and world dictatorship of whatever is left of the human race when they get done slaughtering us. So we have made this case, talked about it, now we need that information to be given to the people that they use to rule over us. We need to make sure that all of the police, every single cop in the UK and in the US, is at least contacted somehow, some way, and say, look, please consider this. Discuss this idea among yourselves. The government is illegitimate. It's illegitimate. It's not real. It gains its power through lying, through intimidation, through murder. This is how these people stay in power. So that means that all of these little lords and PMs in the UK Parliament, every one of them is illegitimate. I don't care if they're even if they're not, they didn't do enough to stop it. So that whole governmental system is illegitimate. The people do not need to obey it. In fact, we need to resist it. And the right way to do that is to get the people that they're using to control us to understand the role they're playing in genocide.
Yeah, it's your chance. You can be just a goon for the oligarchs, or be a human being.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Okay, Joe.
Hey Tim, this is exciting. We'll see where we are next week.
Yes, see what
And
happens.
thank you so much. We'll talk later.
A happy Easter.
Yeah, you too. Happy Easter, Tim. Thank you for talking to me tonight. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.